Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, thanks for your help on this.
We'll call House Education to order. We'd ask the clerk to please take the roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Rexton?
Here.
Vice Chair Running Wolf?
Here.
Representative Bergstrom?
Here.
Representative Bertolio?
Here.
Representative Deming?
Here.
Representative Essman?
Here.
Representative Lear?
Here.
Representative Matthews?
Here.
Representative Mitchell?
Excused.
Representative Romano?
Here.
Representative Seekins Crow?
Here.
Representative Thane?
Here.
Chair Anderson?
Here. We have a quorum and can do business. Just a reminder to the audience, the same one you've heard countless times this year. If you have a cell phone, please silence it. And if you're going to testify, please sign in at the door. Your testimony is a part of the public record. This afternoon, we're going to hear two bills in reverse order that they're on the board. We're going to start with Senate Bill 8. Because of the business of the sponsors in both cases that have other obligations. So with that, I would invite Senator O'Brien to come up and open on her bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Nice to see you all again. My name is Shannon O'Brien. Last name O apostrophe capital B R I E N, and I represent Senate District 46, Missoula up to Seeley Lake and Condon. And I am here to introduce to you Senate Bill 8, which is at the request of the Education Interim Committee. And I will share with you that we had a number of folks in our state who focus on statewide education policy who have been keenly interested in this bill, including our governor. This was actually the bill, this was one of the bills that the governor in his State of the State address mentioned specifically. This bill is simply creates a definition for proficiency-based learning. As you see on page, on the first page of the bill, you have a bill on line 16, proficiency-based learning as defined in subsection 2 of this section, and then if you'll drop down to line 25, subsection 2, proficiency-based learning means an education system in which students' progress is based on a student's demonstration of knowledge and skills, not seat time or the age or grade level of the student. As you know, this is an exciting time in education. This is an opportunity that schools and teachers will be able to help students progress at their own pace and at their own levels. And this bill simply clarifies that definition, and we want to be able to help students reach their goals in their time, and we don't want to hold them back, and we want to make sure that they have a clear understanding and they have competency in their different areas. This passed in the Senate on second reading, 49-0, passed through the Senate Education Committee, obviously before that. I would like to pass out, if I might, Mr. Chair, we've worked on an amendment just to kind of expand and clarify to make sure that that concept of seat time is clarified throughout the bill. So may I just, I know executive order might be a more appropriate time, but it might be helpful for folks to see the amendment that I'd like to introduce to the bill as well. May I pass that out?
Please do.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I would like to give thanks to the Office of Public Instruction and School Board Association and other members of the legislature who have worked on this amendment. Essentially, this bill looks at opportunities, funding opportunities, grant opportunities for school districts to implement this idea of, maybe I'll wait until everyone has a copy.
You have some extras there. These same ones. Thank you.
Sorry.
No.
Apparently I didn't give you all of my copies.
Oh, great.
Okay. Yeah, please proceed. We all have them now.
Thank you. Okay. I don't want to, we don't need to spend too much time. We can have a robust conversation during question time if we want to get into it more. But there were people who thought that it made more sense to really lay out that concept of seat time, and that this is not the place for seat time, and that we can move away. As a former classroom teacher, if you would have told me, let's go to proficiency-based learning. And let's get away from this seat time thing. And I had 150 kids in my classroom at any given time, well, not on any given day, I'll say, but if I had 25 to 30 students going through my classroom for each period, and I have some students who are reading at third, fourth, fifth grade level, these are high school sophomores I'm thinking of right now, and some are ready for college level, and you were to tell me, Ms. O'Brien, figure this out, I'd start to weep. Very likely. But if there's funding available for me to sit down with my colleagues and maybe an administrator to figure out ways that we can ensure that those students have mastered the concepts that they need to know to be ready to move on to the next level, and they don't have to sit in those seats and wait for the clock to turn. And again, anecdotally, those were the students that I most likely had the greatest challenges when they knew the knowledge, they had the content, they had it down, and they were bored. They were ready to move on, but I wasn't allowed to let them move on because they were sophomores and this is what they were learning. So this bill addresses that very thing, and throughout the amendment, you'll be able to see opportunities to really clarify that this is not seat time. This is not going to be funding for seat time. This is going to be this concept of proficiency. And with that, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I will sit and listen to any other proponents or opponents and informational witnesses. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. At this time, we would invite proponents to Senate Bill 8.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lance Melton with the Montana School Boards Association. My last name is spelled M-E-L-T-O-N. I'm here today speaking on behalf of the Coalition of Advocates for Montana's Public Schools. That includes the Montana Association of School Business Officials, the Montana Quality Education Coalition, the Montana Rural Education Association, MTSBA, and the School Administrators of Montana. We sure appreciate Senator O'Brien for bringing this bill forward and also the work of the interim committee. I want to make sure that you understand a couple of key distinctions within this bill. So even though the two sections of this bill are in the same part, same chapter, same part, related to transformational learning grants. That bill was created in 2019 under House Bill 351, Representative McCamey, and that bill created a temporary clause that's now permanent. This is the first section of this bill, the protection afforded for personalized learning by the Montana legislature. Originally, it was considered that was a temporary clause that was going to go away when the rest of that part sunsetted. And then in Representative Bertolio's House Bill 246 last session, we made this section permanent. So that's why, at least from my perspective, why I feel like a little bit nitpicky to even be asking for amendments here is because Section 1 of the bill affects a section of law that has a perpetual duration and has a global impact in terms of its protection for school districts when they personalize learning and focus on the outcome of effective learning instead of the output of instruction. And so in Section 1, that amendment to us on the bottom of page 1, defining proficiency, it also ties into and gives you instructions or gives schools instructions under the use of that term elsewhere in the code, like in 20-9-311. That bill was from 2013 when we added the term proficiency-based A and B for a student who learns faster than the time ordinarily required for instruction. So this term here is important because it nails down the freedom from seat time and the focus on the outcome of effective learning. And we felt it was important to have that in here. And then also just a little bit of a tweak there in the definition of proficiency-based learning and focusing on competence rather than on the basis of seat time. So then if you turn to Section 2 of the bill, because we had a requirement in there before that school districts have complied with, and now this is the school districts receiving grants, not all the school districts, just those receiving transformational learning grants as part of the application had to submit and adopt a policy based on proficiency that could not require seat time as a condition of the satisfaction of proficiency. And since every school district that has applied for that grant has that policy, is using that policy, and used it in their application, we'd like to see that language restored, which is why that amendment is there. And then last but not least, a very small provision for accountability on page 4, line 21, with an expectation that any money provided under the grant, which is a 4-year period of funding, that the money would be spent within 2 years after the date of distribution. So a little wiggle room for districts that are doing multi-year strategies, but not so much wiggle room that they could hang on to it forever or for 4 years and not spend it until the 5th year. It's just a little sideboard there to make sure that as that money is flowing, that we gain the benefit of knowing how those grants are turning out. Remember, they report back to the interim committee on the results of these transformational learning grants, and we think it's important that the money be spent so that you have an adequate relationship of cause and effect, the money you distribute and the results that are yielded. So for those reasons, we support the bill and the amendments, and we appreciate Senator O'Brien in bringing this bill forward and her patience with us in coming in with amendments in the second half of the legislature. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Dylan Klapmeyer. Last name is spelled K-L-A-P-M-E-R-I-E-R, and I'm Governor Gene Forte's education advisor. The governor supports Senate Bill 8, and thanks Senator O'Brien as well as the Education Interim Committee for their work on it and bringing it forward this session. SB 8 is a relatively simple cleanup bill to the Transformational Learning Program, but it will positively impact and expand proficiency-based, work-based, and personalized learning opportunities for students. By providing a common definition for proficiency-based learning, ensuring that district transformational learning plans describe how they will meet proficiency learning objectives for their students, and clearly defining the Board of Public Education's role in determining that districts receiving transformational learning funds are meeting the state's goals for proficiency-based learning, we will be better able to offer truly personalized learning opportunities for Montana families. Again, Governor Gianforte strongly supports efforts to expand personalized, proficiency-based, and work-based learning, and this is one of several bills this session that will help us accomplish that. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good afternoon, committee. I'm Charles Deneau, D-E-N-O-W-H, here on behalf of Yes Every Kid. And we really just co-sign what you've heard from the other proponents. We should be taking advantage of every opportunity to offer more personalized learning. We've seen a lot of success in this program over the last few years, and it deserves to keep going. We urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other proponents in the room? Seeing none, Amanda, are there any proponents online?
There are none, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any opponents in the room? Seeing none, are there any opponents online?
There are none, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Informational witnesses.
Good afternoon, Chair Anderson, members of the committee. Cheryl Allen, working as the Deputy Superintendent at the Office of Public Instruction. Here is an informational witness with any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is McCall Flynn, last name spelled F-L-Y-N-N. I'm the Executive Director at the Board of Public Education. Happy to answer any questions on the board's roles and responsibilities as it relates to the Transformational Learning Grant Program. Thanks.
Thank you. Additional informational witnesses. Seeing none, are there any online?
There are none, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Yes, Vice Chair Rexton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Cheryl Allen.
Chair Anderson, Vice Chair Rexton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Allen, can you talk about the reporting requirements and how those have changed a little bit in reference to this grant? That was one of the aspects of the interim committee that we wanted strengthened, and I'd sure like you to kind of expound on that a bit.
Thank you, Chair Anderson, Vice Chair Retzkin, for the question. So the OPI listened to the sessions from the Education Interim Committee, looked at the volumes of evidences that are collected and reported to the Board of Public Education, and have already been meeting with districts currently funded, informing them of changes and outcomes in more detail that have been requested. So that has been underway now for several months and will continue with those individuals that are being funded new as of July 1. So we have our first group, the fiscal year 2020 group that was the partial year. Those districts are completing their four-year cycle at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Bergstrom.
Chairman, I have a question for the bill sponsor. Chairman and representative. I guess I'm just not real familiar with this, but is this for all grades, or, well, I'll leave it at that, all grades?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bergstrom, that's correct.
Okay, follow-up?
Follow-up?
The other thing I was kind of wondering about was lesson plans and standards, and I was just kind of wondering about that. How this would affect those things.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Bergstrom. This is I was saving some of this for my closing, but this is kind of a in my mind and my heart, this is like a carpe diem type bill of this is our moment in public education to offer opportunities for the school districts to come up with creative, innovative ways to support the teachers so that they can support the students. And we have a local control in our school districts have that that local control, and they work with their teachers and their curriculum specialists or and this bill helps them, offers resources for them to design curriculum, design lesson plans, design opportunities, whether it's work-based learning or other innovative ways to be out of that seat time and into that way of, as long as a student has mastered the concept, then the student may move on to the next level or the next step.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
One more follow-up.
Follow-up.
Okay, Chairman and Representative. I was a shop teacher. We've been doing this for years. because literally you've got students who are at different levels. And they might be in the same class, but this one doesn't get to use this piece of equipment, but this one does. So you were saying that there's going to be part of this whole thing is help in organizing that for the teacher and everything. Where was that help coming from again? I think I kind of missed that as you were going through it.
So, Mr. Chair, Representative Bergstrom, this is a grant program, the Transformational Learning Program. So they give a proposal in a grant that says this is how we're going to change. And you know, I think that math teachers and social studies, some math teachers, some social studies teachers, some ELA teachers need to learn from some shop teachers, right? Some areas it's easier to do that than others. And this specifically focuses on opportunities for school districts to come up with their own plans on how they're going to move the dial on that concept of proficiency. Because it's really hard for some to really get out of that thinking of seat time. And this helps them do that by offering resources, funding to get them to design things to make it happen.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lear.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Mr. Klapmeyer. Mr. Chair, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Klapmeyer, I was just wondering if the governor's office had a stance on the amendments that were proposed or if they had seen the amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative. I have reviewed the amendments, and, you know, I think that they add some additional clarity, but I don't think that they really change the intent of the bill. I don't view them as problematic.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Essman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill sponsor, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman.
Mr. Chairman, Senator O'Brien. We're so used to having representatives in here. I'm trying to wrap my mind around the question I want to ask, so I hope you could be patient with me, because I am not an educator by way of full transparency, and these people are teaching me a lot, as are the bill carriers. But one of the questions I have, when you mentioned to my representative on the right here that this is open to all grades, is this mostly for children who are excelling in their particular reading, writing, and arithmetic, or is this going to track all students regardless of whether they're struggling or they're excelling and exceeding expectations?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman, this program is really designed for all students. So if it's very unique to each school district, which is in large part why we have the amendment and why we have the bill itself, is so that we can create very clear sideboards. Because it's saying, on the one hand, be creative. Send the Office of Public Instruction, send the Superintendent of Public Instruction a creative and innovative way to allow students to learn at their own pace, basically. But on the other hand, we want to make very clear that the intention of this is to move away from the idea of seat time. That's the intention of this. Because research all over the world, literally, shows that that's one practice of schools that are very successful, is that they're moving toward a concept of proficiency-based. So for those students who are struggling in reading, then let's find ways to have more reading, but they might not qualify for special education, or they might not qualify for certain programs, but let's keep the instruction alive for them that's appropriate. And for those students who are at the same traditional grade level, let's allow those ones to move ahead. So, you know, if you can imagine as a teacher, that's a lot to take on, especially when you, you know, you have your fourth grade curriculum that you're used to doing that's set kind of every day from 10:30 to 11:15, you do English language arts.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman?
Follow up.
Okay, this one's going to be harder. Senator, I'm so sorry. Did not mean to demote you just because you showed up to our committee.
It's not a level.
Wait a minute. We're not demoting you. We're complimenting you, calling you representative, right?
Thank you.
Okay. So we've been hearing some disturbing statistics just this year, and I've heard them before. This isn't the first I've heard of them, about children who are struggling with reading. And we're passing kids through the entire system, and they get to the 12th grade, and they can barely read their own report card. So how is this program going to help that? And could we end up with a kid who's 14 and still in the equivalent of fourth grade? I mean, how do you see what I'm asking you? I don't know how to phrase the question to... I hope you understand.
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman, bingo.
Okay.
No, and this is one of the reasons for this bill, is that because your child is in fifth grade and socially they're doing fine and in science and math they're doing fine, they can't read. They're still reading at a third grade level, but we're going to promote them to the next grade, even though they're still behind. And they're likely to continue to fall behind, and they can barely read when they're in 11th grade. And this bill could, for a school district, could address just that. That they don't fail a grade necessarily. I mean, again, it's unique to whatever, to each district, that they can identify their problems. And they're going to have one district might have shop teachers working with math teachers to help build this concept. Another district might say, this is our problem, is that we have fourth graders who are being promoted to fifth grade and to sixth grade, and they can't read. And so let's address it that way, but not looking, and the reason that the bill is here, again, is it's not based on seat time. We need to get out of that concept of seat time, and it's based on proficiency. And so we're moving on, not because they've spent X number of hours, or minutes is actually what it is, and 180 days. It's not because of that. They're moving on to the next level because they've mastered this type of reading. So it's, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Representative Thane.
Mr. Chair, for the bill sponsor, please.
Mr. Chair, I keep expecting to redirect, and one of these days I'm going to redirect from a lot of people in this room who know better. But Mr. Chair, Representative Thane.
Mr. Chair, Senator O'Brien, you're not going to redirect this one. As follow-up to the good representative from Billings, would it be fair to say that under a program such as this, a grade level team, a department, or a professional learning community would get together and establish what the core competencies are in any given course of instruction? Then they would develop some assessments to say, this is evidence that the students have met or have not met those expectations. So you could view this in two different ways. One being, if students demonstrate they've met the core competencies, they could be accelerated and they could move on to the next set of concepts. Or if they fail to meet those core competencies, we put them into a situation where we remediate so that they ultimately can meet those core competencies. So in reality, we're looking at students at all grade levels and across the full educational spectrum. Is that a fair summary?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thain, thank you. I think that's a great summary.
Other questions? Vice Chair Rexton?
For the bill sponsor. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator O'Brien, one of the key ideas that we had in the interim committee was, I asked the question, well, of these groups representing school district, what is being transformed? And before we added the proficiency-based learning situation. So since the governor's office is involved and likes the bill, I think would you say that we need to publicize what is being transformed in a way that makes school districts or helps school districts to see what's working in certain districts and challenge them to step up to the plate for proficiency learning?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Rexton. I think that for those of us who are products of public education that graduated from high school, I don't know, 2000 and not recently, let me just say not recently. I won't put any numbers on any of us. But I think it's hard for us to think about promotion or, you know, we typically go to first grade and then we go to second grade and then we go to third grade and then we go to fourth grade and so on and so forth. And then we get into high school. And sometimes a very few, not very often, but sometimes a student will be held back. And that's, it's a big deal and it's troubling and you know, kids talk about it and parents talk about it. And certainly it's a big decision between administrators and the teachers and the family, the parents and the child. But that's how things have been done in our minds. And the concept, my understanding of this concept of transformational learning is we are truly transforming the way we think about education. And specifically with this bill into the idea of proficiency. And that it's not seat time and that it's that's mastery and skills based. And we are transforming into a new way of looking at education. I will also say that for many, many, many years, many teachers and educators have looked at it from this way. We're just now calling it transformational learning and we're calling it proficiency-based. But the traditional model has been first grade, second grade, third grade, based on seat time.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Senator O'Brien, with the governor's involvement, and to share the effective practice that other districts are experimenting in, I really believe it needs to be hyped and shared in a way that others can learn from the process, because otherwise people are doing things in secret and they don't have the ability to see what's happening that's effective. So I would like the bill, you as a bill sponsor, as well as the governor's office, to promote this in a way that could affect instruction across the board?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Rexton. And you know, if I may just respond to that, is that our teachers across the state, and you've certainly witnessed it, are working so hard and have for many, forever, to make sure that each student thrives, each student does well, given the resources that they have. And that's the beauty of this bill and this movement, to elevate that discussion and elevate those opportunities to expand on that. I think one of the big challenges that teachers have is that if they only had more time to develop the ideas, to connect with their other colleagues in those professional learning communities, if that's what we want to call them, or in the hallway in between classes, that those discussions of, wow, we could really do something great if we could just do this. And that's what this bill does, is it creates those opportunities, and it's putting the sideboards up, so we're not just handing out grant money for the same old, same old. That it's ensuring that this is a funding opportunity for brilliant ideas to take shape. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Comments? Just a comment before you close, Senator. And you'd mentioned that over the years, people have looked at this, just haven't used this name, and without totally dating myself, I remember in post-secondary ed back a long time ago, we used to call it behavioral objectives. But with that, would you like to close in your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm thinking of Madeline Hunter. Is that?
She was around then.
Yeah. Members, this is, In some ways, we could simplify this and say this is a cleanup bill. It just makes sure that it's clarified that it's not seat time, that it's proficiency based. But I also want to share with the committee, I know you've many of you were at the table over the course of the interim, and many of you have heard about this, but the those agencies and organizations that are that have the constitutional oversight for our public schools, we had this phenomenal opportunity to gather, and the governor was there, and the governor's office was there, and the superintendent of public instruction was there, and the board of public education was there, and school board association was there, and of course the legislature was there, and who am I forgetting? I think that was it. And we decided together as a group, we kind of filtered out, what do we want our 18-year-olds to know and to be able to do? And then based on that, what do we want them to, what tools do they need, and what do our schools need to be doing to meet those needs? And one of those was being ready to learn, so kindergarten readiness. One of those was career and technical education. One of those was just this concept of proficiency-based learning. And then the fourth one was supporting our teachers in proficiency learning, but supporting our teachers and addressing the workforce. So this is, as I mentioned before, you know, we really, this is a great opportunity. This is an amazing moment in time for public education. In some ways, I look at it with the parental engagement conversations that have been taking place around the state. In many ways, we have not just an opportunity, but we have a mandate to help our teachers and to help them with the outcome of effective teaching and learning that can go on in the classroom. And this is one more way. Thank you so much for a good discussion.
Thank you, Senator. At this time, committee, we're going to stand at ease for a little bit. Representative Jones is completing some executive action in APROPS, and as soon as that is done, he'll come over present his bill, and then he'll return for his hearings. So at this point, House Education is at ease. We'll call House Education back to order and out of recess. Representative Jones, would you like to open on House Bill 749?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, first, my apologies for being late. We were doing executive action, and I could not leave. I'm also, normally I have every detail down to a art form, but we're going to have to wing this one a little bit because my preparation time was limited. But anyway, my name is Representative Lou Jones. House Bill number 749, I bring for your consideration. So House Bill 749 is the act that is a proposal to modify the Digital Academy. So a little bit of history here. I'm going to have to test my memory, but the Digital Academy 07-09 timeframe, the Digital Academy came to existence in Montana to serve about three areas. We were talking about remediation. Some of those students needed help with remediation. Original credit, which was if you wanted to be in a small rural school and take a Chinese course, that was an original credit. And also at that time, we were hoping to have it be a carrier of our dual credit courses. And it began with some humble beginnings, but it has grown since that time. And our technology has grown since that time. So as we took a look at the Digital Academy, we began to recognize that there was a number of ways that it could be improved. This House Bill 749 is an effort to do just that. So I'm going to, there's an amendment coming for the bill, so I'm going to speak to the bill as if the amendment is on the bill. So our intent here, and I did a handout, so maybe I'll summarize one more step. Our intent here is to expand the offerings of the Digital Academy and make sure it has a much more modern interface. And so what I handed out and the model that actually the Digital Academy had brought to me when we were talking about how to do this was the Wisconsin eSchool. If you're sitting at your computer, you can Google Wisconsin eSchool and just pull up quality choices. But basically what the handout shows is that the Wisconsin eSchool is listing 885 potential courses from a multitude of providers, and you can see the providers on the far side. Obviously they do the work of ensuring that these are quality providers. And thus, the students have more options for more providers. Currently, the Montana Digital Academy provides some options, but it's much more limited in its provision. So the intent is to enhance the interface and have them work to create a much more substantial provision level. The bill and the amendment does that in a number of ways. So one, it makes it very clear, and I'm just going to summarize. If I go to read it, since I didn't look in detail, I'll miss points. Does it in a number of ways. We wanted to ensure, and in rule, the Digital Academy allows your instruction to be obviously from a certified Montana teacher, but in rural today, you can get instruction from a teacher that's certified in another state that's listed in our current rules. You can get instruction from somebody that is not a certified teacher, they're a professional in their fields, as long as it is supervised or it is facilitated by a teacher. And so we're going to expand the options that come through that area. So, and we're going to make it really clear that the instruction can also occur in a manner that's linked to proficiency, i.e., if those courses allow you to move faster or potentially require that you have to move slower, that will be okay as well. But, the current concept of the proficiency-based education, which allows you to move at, you know, the pace from the remedial to the gifted, we're meeting students where they are. So the bill and its amendment will touch on that, the flexibilities that are added. We also, as most of you are aware now, and some of you participated in, we've been working with all the constitutional players that are involved in education, right? Those listed in our Constitution, which is the Board of Education, which includes the governor, the Board of Public Education, the seated board that does the accreditation standards, right? The Board of Regents, again, the ones, the dual credit, the Office of Public Instruction, the Montana School Board Association, the school boards, and of course the Montana School Board Association here. I was busy thinking I have a natural resource bill to go and trying to keep them all straight. So we want to make sure that everybody's at the table, right, and the legislature. So as we look to redo the board in this manner, we wanted to make sure that the constitutional players were at the table because we're trying to have an alignment. Those of you seen the graphic that all these little tractors are pulling in the same direction. Now, obviously, we also had that board would select teachers and administrators, so they have membership across the spectrum. Obviously, the legislator could be a teacher that's selected as well or not. But we want to make sure that some of the challenges we've had in the past is that we've found the constitutional players tend to tear education apart instead of trying to pull it forward together. So we're trying to work on having that block present at the table and aligned. This bill does that. If you look at the fiscal note, effectively this new interface and getting this alignment will cost some money. I would actually think a portion of it is ongoing, but this is the information the Digital Academy had sent in to get this kicked off the ground to have this beginning. And so with that, I apologize for being a little less detailed than normal. But sit down, listen to proponents, opponents, and speak to you about the details. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jones. And we appreciate your heavy lifting across the hall on appropriations. You don't have to apologize for tardiness. Proponents, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Again, for the record, I'm Dylan Klapmeyer, the governor's education policy advisor. Last name is spelled K-L-A-P-M-E-I-E-R. The governor supports House Bill 749 to modernize the Digital Academy and appreciates Representative Jones bringing it forward this session. As was said, the Digital Academy was created in the late 2000s at a time when online delivery of coursework was a relatively new concept. And since then, the Digital Academy has performed well in its statutory mission of delivering core subject matter to students regardless of their geographic location. However, in 2023, and especially coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, online learning is nothing new for Montana students or educators, and there are a plethora of vendors now offering these services. In order for the Digital Academy to remain relevant and effective into the future, we must modernize its mission and its platform. House Bill 749 accomplishes this by expanding its mission beyond core subject matter, reforming its governing board, and making technological upgrades to its platform to allow for approved third-party instructional materials. While House Bill 749 still requires courses to be delivered through school districts, it will make the Digital Academy more accessible to families by conforming with bills that are working their way through this session, such as House Bill 396 for part-time enrollment, and it complements House Bills 203 and 214 for open enrollment and virtual open enrollment. And it will also allow coursework to be delivered in an asynchronous format so that students can advance according to their own proficiency, as we just talked about with Senate Bill 8. So when you think about the disparity in course offerings between Montana's rural and urban districts, this is an exciting opportunity to close that gap and expand educational opportunities for families. In rural districts, it opens access to additional coursework that is not available in person, and in both rural and urban districts, it assists with the state's efforts towards proficiency-based education. Just personally, growing up in a Class B district in eastern Montana, I know I would have loved to have had the access to something like the Digital Academy, access to something like what the Digital Academy can become if House Bill 749 passes. Thank you, and I'm available for any questions.
Next proponent.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lance Melton with the Montana School Boards Association. My last name is spelled M-E-L-T-O-N. I'm speaking on behalf of the Coalition of Advocates for Montana's Public Schools. That includes the Montana Association of School Business Officials, Montana Quality Education Coalition, Montana Rural Education Association, Montana School Boards Association, and School Administrators of Montana. Whew. I'm grateful for the chance to support this bill. We collaborated with Representative Jones in both the predecessor to this bill as well as the amendments that you see that Representative Jones has referenced in his opening. Just a quick history here. We actually started this program privately as the Montana Schools E-Learning Consortium in August of 2004. We ran it, and I won't say it was flawless, but we ran it as best we could under a member-governed, self-funded program, early days of technology there, but we eventually partnered with the University of Montana, who took over administration of the program for us. Each of the groups that I've referenced here today were serving on the governing board since August of 2004, and we successfully implemented it into law in 2009, and it's done a great job and continued to expand offerings over the years. There's a neat provision in law that will help further operationalize the expansion of opportunities under this bill that we put into the law in 2017 that provides a statutory appropriation and rulemaking and funding authority for the Digital Academy. And the specific parts that we really like in here are the amendments to 20-7-1201. First of all, bringing it up to the top level purpose. Really like what Dylan Klapmeyer said about constitutional guarantees and ensuring opportunities for access to a breadth of curriculum in all the school districts across the state. I think that hits right on the notes of the Equality of Educational Opportunity Guarantee in the Montana Constitution. Just note on line 23, page 1, the specific incorporation in the bill before it was amended for enrollment of part-time on a part-time basis. So this is an opportunity to meet families and students where they are, to provide them scaled opportunities to participate, to cover curricular gaps, to assist them in additional development of their full potential as called for in the Constitution. The remote instruction here, both in Montana and outside, is deliberately aligned with the Board of Public Education standards under 10.55.907. So that context and the use of the terminology licensed in Montana or elsewhere, and then an interdependent flexibility for the qualifications of the person locally that's facilitating that learning process, is right in line with those standards and consistent also with the work-based learning model that we developed last session in House Bill 246. For those reasons, we support the bill, and I'm available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent. Proponents online?
There are none, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any opponents in the room?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sarah Piper, S-A-R-A-H-P-I-P-E-R, on behalf of the Montana Federation of Public Employees, MFPE. I'm here today on behalf of our members, first of all, because we like many, many parts of this bill, and I want to emphasize this. MTDA has been a true game changer for education in many schools, as you've been hearing, both rural and urban across Montana. Not to date myself, but I'm of the era when you had to mail in distance learning packets and wait for them to be returned to you graded in the mail with actual stamps on them and everything. So I wish also, as Mr. Klapmeyer said, that this had been an option when I was in school. Our one concern with this bill, and the only reason that I'm standing here as an opponent instead of as a proponent today, is our concerns about the major structural changes that this does to the MTDA board. At the inception, as you heard in 2009, this came out of a joint effort of teachers and administrators and school board trustees around the state. And since then, there's always been representation of teachers, administrators, and trustees on the board. This change would frankly politicize the board in a way that we find somewhat concerning, considering that it's been operating well for the many years since its inception. By having multiple entities on the board essentially appointed by the governor, whether they were appointed to their respective board by the governor and then confirmed by the Senate, or in the case of the trustee, put forth by the School Boards Association and then appointed by the governor to this oversight. That opens this process up to being a little more shifting as political winds come and go. And the beauty of MTDA has been that it's been a consistent, strong voice for distance education in Montana, regardless of who holds what office in this state. So if that was amended, we would love to see this bill continue forward. That's our one concern with it. So thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Are there other opponents in the room? Opponents online?
There are none, Mr. Chair.
Informational witnesses.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Carrier Representative Jones, Cheryl Allen. I should probably spell my first name for you, S-H-A-R-Y-L. From the Office of Public Instruction, working as the Deputy Superintendent, and also to note, I am a member of the MTDA current board. Here is an informational witness for questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Other informational witnesses?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Ken Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, also representing the Office of Public Instruction. I'm the former CFO, worked on the fiscal note, and I'm glad to answer any questions about the financial side of this bill.
Thank you. Are there other informational witnesses?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jason Neifer, N-E-I-F-F-E-R, and I'm the Executive Director of Montana Digital Academy. I'm here today with Mike Agustinelli, my Deputy Assistant Director and Curriculum Director, and we're happy to answer any questions today about House Bill 749. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional informational witnesses? Informational witnesses online?
There are none, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the bill sponsor, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Jones, I actually have two questions. My apologies. The first one being, we heard some discussion in your opening about an amendment, and we don't have a copy of the amendment in front of us. Could you detail very briefly what those changes would be, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thane, there was concern voiced that one of the flexibilities we've granted to schools across Montana is ability to declare proficiency education as a local school board and be able to do some course equivalencies to utilize all the tools of proficiency education. There was concerns as originally drafted the bill would reflect that it had to be done in a seat time manner instead of a proficiency manner. That became clarified in the bill. That was probably one of the primary changes. And it also, we wanted to also codify it, make clear that the items in rule that provision of instruction could be by a certified Montana teacher, teacher to a license endorsed in Montana or elsewhere in the area of instruction taught. When the remote instructor is not licensed and endorsed in Montana or elsewhere, the school district would provide, would assign a supervising person that was licensed. And so we just wanted to make clear that we weren't reducing flexibilities with this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I may follow up with a different question.
Yes, follow up, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we heard opponent testimony about the makeup of the board. And obviously, if you do a comparison, we don't have a Montana licensed teacher on the board any longer. By definition, a district administrator, nor do we have a representative of the schools of education at the Montana University System. Could you talk about that? In your opening, you talked about those constitutional players, and I certainly understand that. But does that need to be to the exclusion of those other partners, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thane, So when I first came to this legislature, we were a top five performing school in the country. We are now barely in the top half. We've seen some decline. And part of that decline is, and this, I need to be very clear, this current board of the Digital Academy has been fairly easy to work with, to bring new offerings on, to expand the offerings. But a decade ago, it was not. And what we found is a difficulty. We found the four little tractors constantly pulling in different directions. We found the Board of Public Ed pulling one way, the exec pulling one way, the legislature, and the loser was the students, which what this was designed for. In fact, I remember, bluntly honest, having to hijack its funding to make sure that it did anything beyond remediation and continued to offer original credit. And then it completely dropped doing dual credit. And so while I appreciated the board had no relationship to its funders or its constitutional players, it had made it at times very difficult. Now, we were careful in how that we ensured that a teacher would be on the board. We were careful in that a member from SAM would be selected by the board. But we also wanted to make sure that without the constitutional players aligned, in this state or in any other state, the likelihood of them moving forward in a positive manner seems limited. And so I would argue that this board, while not exactly the same as the other board, and certainly since we live in a political world, I guess, given if all those players were to suddenly become political and in the education arena, I guess, could have impact, they rarely are that well aligned. I believe this would serve student opportunity well in that they would move together forward instead of often resisting each other, which has happened today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Jones.
Yes, Representative Bergstrom.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a question for Mr. Neifer online. Oh.
Mr. Chair, Representative.
thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Neifer. I was just wondering, do you have a kind of a good idea of the success rate of people, of students who have taken Digital Academy courses and successfully passed them?
Sure. We can provide specifics, but I can give you kind of a range here of what that typically looks like. It depends on which part of our program you're speaking of, but in general, the original credit, dual credit, AP courses that we offer, the success rate, and we're defining success as 60% or better, even though grades may look differently for local schools, that success rate typically ends up somewhere between 85 and 95%, depending on the term, the types of classes we're talking about, et cetera. In the past, and we're evolving this program to be something a little different, our credit recovery students are closer to 65 to 70%, but you need to remember there that those are students that have previously failed a course before. So if they pass at a 70% rate, that would be 70% better than the first time they took that course in another environment or another format. Another way we know that our program has success is because we very, very, very aggressively survey students. We think student voice is an extremely important part of the Digital Academy experience. And since the pandemic started, and of course we use that as a metric because there has been a lot of national media and panic about the inefficiencies of distance learning since the COVID-19 pandemic started, our students have said that about 86% of them were satisfied or very satisfied with their MTDA course. And we're very proud of that number, and I think helps solidify our program offerings as a solid way for students to get a credit in their local high school.
Great. Follow-up?
Follow-up.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Neifer. Now, do schools pay part of the cost for Academy, the Digital Academy? Schools or students, individual students?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes. Starting in 2021, we added something we're calling cost sharing, which we share an overall part of the cost of delivering the course. Right now, that's $123 per semester course. It works a little differently depending on the parts of our program since we break them down into smaller parts, but in general, it's $123 cost share with schools.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Other questions, Yes, Representative Deming.
For Mr. Niefer again, I'm sorry.
Should have paused. Mr. Chairman, Representative.
Mr. Niefer, so could you give us an idea of the numbers of people who are doing the MTDA Academy at any one time or, say, a year? I just don't know the numbers.
Sure. I can look at this in a couple of different ways. In any given semester, about 80 to 85% of schools across the state are participating in Montana Digital Academy, and that number varies in part because need varies at local schools. So, for example, maybe one semester you decide that you're going to offer all students an opportunity to take a course because you don't have a teacher locally that can teach that course, or you want to provide additional opportunities. This semester, and I might have to defer to Mike here because he literally just cranked these numbers, this semester we have about, I think it's 2,800 students participating with us in roughly, I think, about 4,000 course enrollments in the current term.
Follow up. And so is there a breakdown between those who are doing credit recovery and those who are just trying to get credits through their regular enrollment there?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes, it's about 80-20. The vast majority of our students are in our original credit, advanced placement, dual credit class offerings. The credit recovery environment that you're speaking of is actually something we're evolving because of, there's a variety of reasons behind it, but it's got a significant proficiency-based model already built into the environment. So when we say credit recovery, we're not really going to call it that anymore because we want to open up that program to students that are looking for alternative educational environments that are different than kind of the traditional environment, but the current breakdown is about 80-20.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Other questions in the committee? Seeing none, would you like to close your bill, Representative Jones?
I certainly would. Section E, which I've sat on for a long time, looks at the data and the details from the Digital Academy. And in particular, in the last few years, we've seen an increase in numbers, an increase in performance. We've also seen it move from just a credit recovery to a more robust original credit model. We've seen it be able to better coordinate with the university system. It's no longer, and probably won't be, we had originally envisioned it to be able to be the platform where you could access all your dual credits or your college courses, but I think that the colleges, there is an interface that's going to be linking the colleges together that this could attached to, but that requires some coordination, so there'll probably still be a Board of Regents function there. Hopefully, if the boards become more integrated, that's more functional as well. This has been a good program. The thought process is with a broader interface, allowing more student options in more areas, it'll do even better work than it's done before. With some of the flexibilities we're granting through the other bills that were referenced, so that folks could enroll part-time, and again, always through their public school, but they can access this in a multitude of manners. That helps as well, and it is very affordable. It does cost share, but if you think about the cost of an A and B, and I'll pick a high school A and B, you're getting about $7,000 per student per year as an A and B at a high school, just rounding numbers. And if you divide that over the seven periods, that's $1,000. It's per period in the day, right? When you work that backwards, having to pay a small portion and probably save some costs while doing so to utilize this course is not an unfair request. It is replacing a coursework potentially at that level. So it seems to be working. This was a thought process. We've talked about some time enhancing it. We've talked about trying to get it more aligned with the constitutional players. I believe this does all of those steps, and I'm excited to see it move forward. Thank you. And again, I do apologize.
Thank you, and I know that they're waiting for you in another committee, so thank you for joining us. This concludes the hearing on House Bill 749. Is there anything else to come before the committee this afternoon? Seeing none, House Education is adjourned.